He does a great job at it. And you can see it's an awful lot of work involved in the three councils, the region, and the science center. So we'll get right into it. And as you recall, at the September council meeting, we discussed GARM 3, the timing, the timelines for management, whether we need an EIS or an EA, and we had that full discussion. As a result of that discussion, of course, we determined we need an EIS and we want to use the most recent data, et cetera. And so the first priority is to develop a new Groundfish Amendment 16 with an EIS to develop rebuilding strategies. In order to accomplish that amendment, five meetings can be scheduled to support Groundfish Amendment 16. Again, budget, we've been level funded for the last 7 years. I don't expect any additions this year, and so our meetings are going down. So we'll have five. For sea scallops, a very healthy agenda. Continue general category scallop amendment 11. Develop a new framework 19 in 2007, which would have the days at sea and tax for the limited access fleet for 2008 and 9. It will be complicated somewhat by the fact that the general category amendment may have an allocation that might not be in place for the framework, that we'll have to manipulate things. But nevertheless, we're looking at Framework 19 allocating TAC to both limited access and general category fleets in one way or the other, Framework 19. So that's going to be very complicated. And a new agenda item that came up, or a new priority, was to develop an amendment, another amendment, to address the observer coverage in using research set-aside funding or scallops for observer coverage. NIMS currently has an emergency action in place that allows the research set-aside and scallops to be used to fund observers. It runs out June 2007. So at this council meeting, we'll announce that we're going to, if you approve this, we'll announce that we're going to start an amendment, do all the scoping, do limited amount of work and analysis, and have the final meeting of this amendment at the February council meeting. So it'll be a very quick amendment with no EIS, no EA, a categorical exclusion, but basically what we're going to do is keep the emergency action going by amendment so we can use the scallop set-aside. Otherwise, you know, it may not be a scallop fishery if we don't have observers on there. That's the worst case. So those are three actions in scallops. To accomplish those three actions, I'm going to designate two staff to work on scallops. Third priority, or not in any order, but the third management action above the line would be to continue our whiting amendment. And again, that would be up by our new pelagics committee. Five meetings to address whiting. Continue habitat omnibus amendment, five meetings to continue to work on habitat amendment. Another priority is skates. As you recall, we had the annual PDT review, which showed that overfishing was probably occurring on, I think it was winter skate, and when or the stock was below, was it overfished? It went below half. And probable overfishing occurring. At any rate, we would need a rebuilding plan, which is an amendment. And we got a letter from NIMS stating that we need to take management action for skates. So that's another priority that would be accomplished by the new multi-species committee, would address both skates and groundfish and hold five meetings for skates. The executive committee did discuss that 10 meetings would be authorized for the multi-species committee to address both groundfish and skates, so that you can have some efficiencies there. Another priority that the council wanted and voted on motion was to conduct a review of the herring specs again for 2008 and 9. The executive committee discussed that may be going up in TAC or going down in TAC, so we were looking at preparing an EA which takes effort and resources. So that would have to be considered a priority and a certain amount of work to look at herring in one committee meeting. And standard bycatch reporting methodology, continue that amendment. And once the public hearings are in and the final EIS, we probably need two or three meetings for SBRM. Those are council resources. The funding is, I think, Pat, just a quick question. I think you did provide us with some SBRM funding in 2006. I think it was 10 grand or something. I can't remember.
That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So you look into that again for 2007?
If we get the same.
Okay. Okay, so those are the management actions with the species committees to look at for the council to approve in 2007. Multi-species, sea scallops, three actions, whiting, habitat, skates, herring, and SBRM. Under other management actions above the line, I envision there'll be some additional plans or work done on MSA reauthorization. The executive committee talked about not having a Magnuson committee, but having the executive committee preparing comments to bring to the council for Magnuson reauthorization. Research steering would continue in 2007 with six meetings. Again, that's been funded through 2007, and we would seek additional funds of the collaborative research funding for May of 2007 beyond. And if we did not get that funding, we would not do research steering if we don't have the funding from NIMS. TMGC go up from two to four meetings. In the past, again, the service used to fund our travel and meetings for TMGC. Now we take it out of Hyde because their budget has been cut as well. And because the council wanted additional meetings of the TMGC, we've added two additional meetings for the TMGC to meet with Groundfish or meet with the council before they meet with the Canadians. So four meetings for TMGC. Trawl survey is not funded by our council. It is funded by the Science Center in support of their calibration work, three meetings. And the new VMS Enforcement and Safety Committee, we were funded, I think it was $16,000 from Bill Hogarth, and we'll hold five meetings in 2007 there. So those are all the actions above the line for the council to consider. Things that if you wanted to put something above the line, you'd have to bring one down. And the other things that are on the list that did not compete well at executive committee were the sector omnibus amendment. We had talked at length about developing a standardized sector policy for all FMPs. Just don't have the resources to do that. However, the executive committee would like the staff to prepare a straw man on what are the different issues associated with sectors and bring them to the full council for approval, and then each species committee, if they wanted to address sectors in their amendment, could do so in a separate amendment. And some of those issues are the staff would develop a policy for the full council and provide guidance on developing provisions for sectors, which would include a comprehensive list of concerns about sectors, including overages, underperformance by a sector, how to treat discards, allocation of species for which the sector does not have a catch history, caps on sector allocations. All of those things would have to be addressed, and the staff would develop policies and bring them forward to the council as opposed to an amendment. Another action that's below the line is a new amendment for the party and charter boat fleet to establish limited entry in the party charter boat fleet. That did not compete well. And also, you recall we talked about at one time there were a number of issues that fell out of Framework 42 that is still in limbo somewhere for the next framework, and there's a long list of them, and they're in your handout. They did not compete well. Another action item below the line is Red Crab. I think this is the third or fourth year in a row that we've delayed establishing a harvesting co-op in Red Crab. Ecosystem plan, which we just talked about, I think, I don't know if all of them, but I pretty much think all the other councils now have developed or are in the process of developing an ecosystem plan. So I think Sally's right. We've got to start moving forward or else we'll be behind with that effort. But again, the actual plan itself and development of an amendment with scoping is below the line. Hagfish, develop a new hagfish FMP is still below the line. And the control date is 2002 on that. So did we reaffirm that? I can't remember. We reaffirmed that, so that's a little current now. And monkfish, there was some discussion for a potential management action to look at leasing in the monkfish program, and that fell below the line. So that's it for management actions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I know there's going to be questions, comments, motions. I prefer to get a motion up on the table and second it, and then we can amend, debate, or otherwise. So, Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion that the council accept the 2007 Priorities Committee tasking above the line as recommended.
Is there a second? Seconded by John Nelson. Discussion? Paul.
Just one clarification. This budget and these meetings and the priorities are based on a level-funded budget. Or a slight increase or something. If in fact there is a huge budget increase, which I don't expect, then we could visit some other things at the next council meeting. But right now, this is based on level funding at best.
Okay. Any comments? Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Could you give us, or at least me, a brief explanation of what it would take to move an item from the below the line to above the line?
What I would do, Terry, is say that, well, say you wanted the sector omnibus amendment. I think that you'd then say, well, an amendment is huge, so maybe we ought to take another amendment from above the line like Whiting. And you'd make a motion to put Whiting below the line for certain reasons and then put omnibus amendment for sectors above it. But it would take a motion at this point, amended motion.
Well, you might be reading my mind here, Paul. With Whiting currently not overfished and no overfishing occurred, and the fact that sectors are part of every one of our discussions, whether or not we're talking about scallops, Whiting program, monkfish, groundfish, and the great amount of work that needs to happen in order to move into the future, I would make the recommendation in the motion that we substitute the sector omnibus amendment for the Whiting amendment at this point.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble. Discussion? Dave Gable.
Yeah, I oppose the motion. I think that the first of all, this is, you know, we've already done a lot of work on the Whiting Amendment. We're well on our way. It's one of the few fisheries we have where we have a chance to get in front of the curve instead of behind it. I think we should continue in that direction. I think the way Paul has laid out how we could deal with sectors, or how the Executive Committee dealt with it, is a logical way to do it. I don't think we, you know, if that white paper is prepared and we're given some guidance, then I think the individual committees can deal with it on a committee-by-committee basis. I agree it's not the ideal way. It may lead to a little bit of a hodgepodge, but I don't want to see Whiting dropped, and I'll oppose the motion.
Thank you, Dave. John Nelson.
Well, just briefly, I think David covered the points very nicely, and I think that, as I understand it, the sector amendment actually will be moving ahead with staff developing at least option policies for us to consider. And I think that that's probably a given the financial situation. I think you're winding up with you know, having your cake and eating it. So I think you're getting that sector one done also, and then we would be able to move ahead with, as David pointed out, staying hopefully ahead of Whiting so it doesn't become red instead of green.
Paul.
Just to that point, I'm not speaking in favor of anything, but what you do get, if you do get an omnibus amendment, is that, you know, for instance, let's just say it's Herring wants to do a sector. We had that debate about Herring. Now you need an amendment in Herring. That could be 4 years from now. So the point is that an omnibus amendment can be done a lot quicker than having an amendment done in each individual plant. That was the goal behind it.
Sally.
A question and a comment just to make sure that I understand, or so that we can just reiterate some of the discussion of the executive committee on the sector policy. My understanding is staff will develop the sector policy. That will be brought to the full council. The full council will debate that hopefully sometime in early 2007. That was kind of a question. And then after that, once there's, you know, in Whiting, for example, or the current scallop amendment, then each committee can look to that policy to inform how it develops sectors. So I see that as being actually a quicker way to be able to get an informed umbrella council policy into the fisheries that are interested in pursuing this kind of approach. So with that, I would oppose the motion.
Pat?
Thanks. I'm opposed to the motion as well, and I won't repeat what people have said. Just point out that we've got a control date that dates back to 03 now. We have reaffirmed it, but reaffirmed it with the idea that we would actually use it after that reaffirmation. And so I think we need to go forward with that. The Whiting amendment has dropped below the line several years in a row now. We need to get it done. The time to manage is before it's a problem, not wait till it's a problem. And I'm not even sure we're there, given the information that are giving the everything we're hearing right now about the Whiting fishery and the concerns the industry's having. So I think we really need to move forward with the Whiting.
In response to Sally's question, what I will commit to is at the February council meeting, I'll have a detailed list of concerns or issues, overages, underperformance of a sector, how to treat discards, allocation of species, et cetera, and anything else the staff puts together as issues that need to be addressed in a policy. And then the council can discuss those and add to it. And then we can go back and do additional work on establishing policy about those issues. And then probably by the summer, we should be able to have a full laundry list with these are the things that should be considered and how they should be addressed for future amendments by the summer.
Anyone else on the council? If not, I'm going to go to the audience on the specific motion to amend or replace Whiting with the sector omnibus. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary Beth Tooley, Camden, Maine. And I support the motion. However, I understand some of the concerns people have made about Whiting and certainly understand what it's like to be below the line on an issue for several years. So I wonder if you look at the items that are above the line, how much wiggle room you have. I mean, on skates, you're waiting for a biological opinion on skates and deciding whether you need to move forward or is that an absolute that you're going to move forward. I think in the past the council has considered saying that some items below the line, if funding becomes available, would be taken up and perhaps you could consider doing it in, through that approach. If the council develops a policy and that's something that's in place by the middle of the year, if there were a chance to revisit an omnibus amendment that included sector allocations and how they would work in all plans versus going species by species, which would take a very long period of time, I think the council should consider it.
Anyone else? Dana, I think I forgot you. Would you like to speak now?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I, too, realize the dilemma of the Whiting Committee, but sectors and how they're applied, I think, are going to play a huge role and can benefit a lot of fisheries. And I think at this time I would support this motion and have this discussion about sectors, because a lot of us have been fretting over it for a long time. And not to diminish the staff approach, but I think that this needs to be done. I think this needs to be brought above the line, and I think we need to get this all fleshed out before we go forging down the road blindly. So I'm going to support this motion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dana. Anyone else? Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm somewhat near torn. I want to see them both, but I don't see, you know, it's just basically back to a shopping list. And what jumps out at me is I understand the frustration of the whiting and how long it's been up and down and back and forth, but, you know, a lot of stock changes haven't exactly happened with it since the amendment went in, and it's a market-driven fishery. I mean, the bottom line to that fishery is it's market-driven. You ain't going to put but X amount of them fish in the market. It handles it. That's basically the bottom line there. So I'm not in favor of taking it off the list. But I guess I would have to vote for the motion, because I'm much more in favor of doing something for the sector that I know of. Everybody I talk to, we got a sector coming, looking at this one or that one or that one, and everybody you talk to is coming with them, and over the course of the next year, we're going to have a whole handful of them in front of us. So I think it's really important we get a handle on this thing going forward. I'll have to support it.
John.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, my sense was that the sector amendment really would be to develop an overall policy, which it seems to me that the staff can provide to us. Now, we have the ability to implement sectors on the multi-species already, which cover a huge amount of the species that probably are of concern that people are thinking about. As we develop other amendments that are above the line, if we've developed a policy, we should be able to incorporate those other amendments. Now, that does leave a couple of species out for the time being, but I think that's the sacrifice that really you might need to take in order to get the most bang for your buck. And I think the most bang for the buck right now is to develop the policy. We can incorporate it into a number of other amendments and utilize it for as a policy for existing amendments that allow sectors. So we've covered a lot of ground by just doing it the way it's outlined here.
Anyone else on the council? Okay, I'm going to call the question. The motion to amend to replace whiting with sector omnibus. All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. 7 opposed. 8. Motion to amend fails. Back to the main motion. Further discussion on the main motion. Paul.
In terms of sectors, I remember the council debate over herring, where the council had directed the committee to do allow sectors in herring and went back and forth, and finally they did develop one. The council didn't approve it. So what we can do, and then there was a bunch of debate about the fact that it matters. It's the operations plan that is critical, and that the council is going to have a chance to vote. So you know, one of the things the council should consider as we discuss whiting tomorrow and go forward with whiting, they may want to develop a sector. So based on the fact we're not going to have an omnibus amendment, you know, like John said, I see no reason why they couldn't establish a sector and then be guided by what we're developing by the summer. And same thing with skates.
Further discussion on the main motion. Terry.
Yeah, this is on behalf of the monkfish framework that's below the line. I was one of the committee members that supported the concept of investigating the concept of a days at sea program, and it was split on the committee between the folks from the northern and the southern part, and primarily because the northern fishery has no days at sea to use as a baseline from which to move forward, which is the principal reason why we didn't select to make it a primary component of the framework. So there is a recommendation from the committee to the council I'll read it here. It says, to recommend the council initiate framework for the sole purpose of implementing a monkfish days at sea leasing program for the 2009 fishing year. And the program will have a standard of being conservation neutral to the extent possible and may include a conservation tax as a means of achieving conservation neutrality. And it will incorporate days at sea data from the 2007 fishing year. And I'm a little perplexed now because I understand the reason that the executive committee made all the recommendations for those issues above the line, and I don't know if there's enough time or money to incorporate the a monkfish framework, but it's critically important to those folks that are revenue dependent upon it. So that's what I have.
Yeah, a couple of points on that. The executive committee met before the monkfish committee, as I think you're aware of, and that motion is a motion that's coming up tomorrow under monkfish. The motion specifically points to 2009 fishing year for implementation of a days at sea leasing program in the monkfish plan. And I would think next year when we pick priorities for the council's work in 08, if the council wanted to initiate a days at sea leasing program for monkfish and only for monkfish in that framework, then it could happen in 1 year in 08 and be implemented in time for 09.
My only concern is that if the priorities are set today and the committee makes a recommendation tomorrow, it may be too late.
I recall we're kind of getting off track a little bit, but it's an important point, Terry, because it's going to come up tomorrow. We did have this discussion at the committee, and nothing stops a member of the council from initiating a framework. It doesn't mean that the council needs to continue to work on that framework. In other words, you could start it at some point later in the year, or we could wait till priorities the following 1 year from today to initiate that framework. But as far as if you look at the priorities for this year that we're debating, even if we initiated a framework right now for a leasing program on monkfish, we don't really have that, as we talked about, that 1 year's worth of days at sea usage to analyze and consider in creating the plan. But, as I said, it will come up again tomorrow.
I have to state my piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like a little clarification on the sector issue. My recollection is when we did groundfish as an example, we have a there is a sector already in the groundfish area. But it was my understanding that if we wanted to do some additional sector idea, we would have had to wait till the next groundfish action in order to do that, which would be presumably about 2009 before that happens. Is that correct? In other words, if we were to decide today that, or somebody wanted to do a sector, and I'll try to make it as simple as an example, and we thought it was a great idea. How could we get that in there into the groundfish regime at the present time? How would you do that?
It would require a vehicle. It could be a framework, groundfish framework, or an amendment.
That was my understanding. So it seems to me that in groundfish, in scallops, and in herring, probably the three most valuable fisheries we have, and the three that would preclude anything happening other than groundfish, I suppose if we did something in multi-species by 2009, you could do it. But in those plans, you don't have any real way of actually getting sectors. And it seems to me that, especially after the meeting we had in groundfish last week, that so many of the ideas that were brought up at that meeting, they were thought of as, well, gee, we should do this or we should do that. But sectors offers a vehicle to do that. Sectors does allow, is a vehicle for those varying ideas to be put on the agenda or in our plate of tools that we can use. So I think it's very valuable for us to do something about sectors. I'm reluctant to think that we should just say, let the staff decide that these are policies we should do and then treat it as a policy. That'd be fine as a policy, but in effect, we can't do anything about that. And in all these three species until 2009. And to me, when we dealt with these issues at the time, we were told, well, what we should really do is deal with this in an omnibus amendment, and this would allow us to do this in a timely manner. So I think that was it was kind of a, I won't call it a promise, but it was held out as the way to deal with this. And now when it gets down to crunch time, that's not the way to deal with it. Now we're going to deal with it as a policy. But the policy doesn't do us any good unless we have a vehicle to put the sectors at work. So I would like to see us do something, and I'd offer a motion, and it's, I guess, more in the, it would be the same as Terry's motion, except that I would move skates below the line. And I don't know what the consequence of that is to skates, but it seems to me that there's been very little activity. I know there's going to be some some of the skate species that are in difficulties that we'll have to deal with. But I don't know whether that's something we are going to or able to deal with in the short term anyway. So I would offer the same motion that Terry did, but use skate to move the omnibus amendment, the sector omnibus amendment above the line and to take skates below the line.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Dave Preble. Discussion. Phil.
Yeah, I guess I could support that. But I guess what I get to wondering now is going down a list of what Paul just gave us, the list of the amount of meetings per committee for the priorities and stuff. And, I almost wonder if we can steal three meetings or four, one here, one there, and one there to get it up there to where we can handle both. The reason some of us, I understand Paul, but the reason I'm asking this is I agree wholeheartedly that we need to be going down this road. But the other portion that I didn't get out last time is here we are, we're realizing the problem, that we're realizing this is it. And we're standing here going again that we're going to stay doing business like we always do. We're trying to increase efficiency and get stuff done properly and react, and yet we're going to take the same road, which is not going to let us react. And that's, I think, really poor.
Jim Alden.
Yeah, I like Phil said. Maybe instead of having five meetings for all of those amendments, we could do them in four and allow you a few meetings and just put the heat on the committees to be efficient and still be able to accomplish this omnibus on sectors. I mean, if, we could, because there's Red Crab we haven't dealt with for 3 or 4 years that we could take into the omnibus. There's a whole bunch of them. So I think we should move forward with the pass this amendment and then just look at just reshuffling the deck a little bit.
Jim. Pat.
I don't think this is an option, and I want to be clear. I'm not speaking out against doing the sector amendment. I think it's important, and if I could think of any way to move it above the line, and if I could have thought of it during the executive committee, I certainly would have supported it. But the SCATE framework slash amendment is to address an overfishing situation. The council was officially notified of that overfishing situation, and now, according to the statute, has a year to respond. So you have a statutory obligation to do the SCATE. And I think that we've got one stock right now for SCATE that the council's been notified on, but there's the potential that others could be added to that list in the near future. So I don't think this is a viable option, flipping these two.
How would council feel about putting herring below the line, nothing to no herring, and SBRM come to full council? No more committee meetings for SBRM, that when Mike is done with the public hearings and the ESC, the final EIS, it comes to the full council. That's four meetings right there. And you could do that above the line, in my opinion.
All right, Tom Hill next.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just make the brief observation. Pat made one point that I was going to make, but I think that again, I've been beating this drum for a long time, but I would be reluctant to not say again that until we decide that we're not going to try to fix everything all the time, that we're going to limit what it is that the council is responsible for in terms of maybe limiting the goals that we have in each amendment, and presuming that in returning back to the communities that we manage, the participants in the fishery, the significant number of the things that we have historically tried to do in committee actions and in council actions, we'll never get to the stage where we really have the time to deal with the sector allocation process, that we continually try to do all things for all people in every amendment that we draft, in every plan that we draft, and quite frankly, our track record is not very good. That we, I mean, how many, we're now working on Amendment 15 or 16 for groundfish in 42 frameworks. And it's the fruit of us trying to, believing that we can address all of the, what I'll call the micromanagement issues within a fishery, and not believing that the industry can sort it out if we just set some boundaries. And I'm fully in favor of developing a sector process, but I think inherent in that is the presumption that the council needs to limit what it believes it needs to have in order for us to be successful. Thank you.
John Nelson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. You may start needing to do the pro and con approach here to get through this. I think everybody supports the developing sector, and it's just a matter of how we're going to do it. Just for clarification, though, if a group came forward to us today under groundfish multi-species, and they said, we'll develop a sector plan, and we'd like the council to consider it, and we would be able to implement a framework to initiate that, and then once they bring that in, it's a review, and then the second framework puts it in place or moves it on to the service for consideration and approval. That's the process that we have already got in place for the multi-species. So it's not a matter of denying anybody the opportunity to come forward and do that. That's how I understand it. And Paul's nodding his head in agreement because he went through the whole thing with me too. But that's what we set up under Amendment 13. There's a process in place. People come forward. They develop it. It's not us developing it for them. What we need to do is develop the policy, which I believe we're able to do under this concept that's in front of us. Then you can incorporate it, I would think, under the whiting. You could incorporate it under, I might be wrong, but under scallops, because you're continuing a general scallop amendment, and it may add more work to it, but you certainly could incorporate the policy in there, and then they have that ability to come forward to do it for scallops. So the only one that probably doesn't get addressed is herring, which is a very small fleet right now. It's, you know, and I won't call it a sector, but it's pretty small. And if that's the only one that we're worried about, I don't think we should jeopardize all the other work for a very small industry that's already basically unto itself. So I unless Paul's idea of doing away with a bycatch and whatever else he suggested is the right way of doing it, I think we've got to move ahead and deal with this. And I think we're accomplishing at least 90% of what everyone wants to accomplish by this approach right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to make a motion to substitute to see what the feeling was concerning doing as Paul recommended, moving herring below the line, having SBRM become a council function, and moving this omnibus amendment above. But I'm not sure I want. I mean,
I'll, okay.
Mr. Salisbury.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would consider it a friendly amendment to delete the substitute skate portion and take the herring and the SBRM meetings below the line and put the omnibus amendment above the line.
Seconder, accept. Okay, with the understanding the SBRM portion would just become a function of the council. The service has a lead on it anyway. So. Go ahead, Mr. Salisbury.
Can I speak to that? I think John's comments, I understand John's comments. I think the problem is that every time we've, in an amendment, for example, we'll take the scallop amendment. That was very specific. It was limited to certain specific things that we would do. We talked about it. About adding other issues to that, and we can't. We've only dedicated 5 meetings to it. That's an ambitious program as it is to get it done in 5 meetings. The same thing now with multi-species. To think that we're going to develop a new groundfish amendment in 5 meetings, it's pretty mind-boggling to think that we're going to do that. And we'll do exactly what we did in the last round, where we took a whole bunch of issues and just said, well, we can't deal with these in this time frame, and they go off the table. But in my mind, the potential for sectors is great. I've objected to them in the past because they weren't well planned, well thought out, weren't done in advance, and we hadn't had much discussion on them. But I think it offers us a great opportunity to do, as Tom suggested, to start doing things that we need to do in these amendments that give us the most bang for the buck. And I think we do have to take some hard looks at things we're going to have to do differently. And I would suggest that herring typically is at this level, it's meant to be a review of what we've done, what we've put forward for a three-year program anyway. It's not really much of anything for the committee to do other than review it, and we came back, and as we saw it last time, the council took it all over again anyhow. So, and I think the SBRM is something that the agency has the lead on, and I think the council will debate it in full here, so I don't feel any problems of moving those out of committee. So, thank you.
Thank you. I had Dave Gaethel, and then Dana.
Okay. I guess it's a little harder to be against this one than I was against the previous ones, but I, nonetheless, I still think our prime responsibility is managing the fisheries. And sectors are about, and I don't want this to sound harsh, but they're about people's ability to make money. We can manage the fisheries with or without sectors. Sectors are a way for people to more efficiently move their capital around. But there isn't going to be any capital to move around if we haven't efficiently managed the fisheries, because the fisheries are going to be failing. And so, as an example with herring, I mean, I think we may get new information. It means we do have to revisit herring. That's why we said that we would set a three-year spec with the idea of reviewing it every year. And I, for one, am not really anxious to give that ability up. I think we probably are going to have to do that. I still think we can get what we need on sectors through the staff. And we have, as John said, vehicles to move sectors forward if people come forward with operations plans. They don't require a huge amount of meeting time. You know, basically, if somebody's got a fully developed sector plan, we can move it forward in a framework that should be relatively straightforward as long as we don't start tacking bells and whistles onto it. But I get back to my original point, which is that our prime responsibility is to manage the fisheries, and that means we have a list of species that need to be managed. As it is, we can't do them all because we don't have enough time and enough money. A bunch of them have already fallen below the line, some of which I think are pretty important to the overall health of the ecosystem. But be that as it may, there's a line has been drawn, and everything that's above it is species, and everything that's below it, some species and some is economic policy. So I guess what I'm saying is I still don't support this motion. I think, you know, the way the executive committee outlined it is the proper way to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Dana?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SBRM and herring are very important to me, but I would support this motion to get an omnibus amendment for sectors, because, as I said before, the potential for sectors is great, and I think that some of the inherent danger with them until the council goes through a process and lays out some rigid guidelines and fleshes this all out is great, too. Sectors work very well, but one of the reasons that I want to see this sector thing done in an amendment is if you're a very well-organized group of people and know how the process works and have the right attorneys, it's pretty easy to put forward a sector that will be accepted. As sectors go forward, I think there are going to be some small groups of people that are not that well organized, and I think they need some specific guidelines, and I think they really need to understand how sectors work. I mean, I'm a little bit familiar with them, but the one we have was put forward in a great fashion, and it took several years' work, I think, by a lot of dedicated people who knew what they were doing, and I really think that it's the council's responsibility to make this as clear and concise to all the people that are going to be perhaps wanting to apply for a sector as we can. So that for that reason, I would support this motion.
Thanks, Dana. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Despite my interest in fully developing the sectors as a useful tool for upcoming management strategies, I'm going to vote against this measure specifically because I don't believe that herring should be taken below the line. We have had a lot of discussion at our last meeting. There are a lot of unknowns coming up. It's critically important to the Gulf of Maine, and I think if we need to make any adjustments to our management program in the next year, it should be based on the latest science that we have, and we'd be tying our hands behind us if we move the herring below the line.
Terry Ritt.
Thank you. I want to agree and disagree with my colleague from the Granite State. Our responsibility is managing the fisheries, but where I disagree is I think that sectors are a tool for us to manage the fisheries. Is there always going to be a component of us managing people when we manage fisheries? Has to be, because that's an integral part of it. But I really think that the sectors are a way for us to manage the fisheries. I know at the executive committee meeting, we went back and forth on this one quite a bit. I think Paul's suggestion is a very good one as a way for us to get this up and get moving on it.
Any other comments? Mike Leary.
Looking back at my notes here for the Heron, is that when we did vote for that alternative, it had a trigger for 1 year review. So I still think that's important, and I'm going to oppose this motion.
Jim.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that review is done by the council, and I would still expect that to move herring below the line means we're not going to have a committee meeting to deal with that. We're going to deal with it directly at the council meeting to review it at the time in the appropriate time in the late summer, and that's still going to be reviewed. It's just not going to be done through the whole committee process. Is that correct?
The way I had envisioned it before is that we would do a normal spec package. We'd do an EA. We'd look at the data and, you know, just like you did last year. You know, because however, right now I view it under this motion that we'd look at it and we'd say to the council, we're okay or we're not okay. And if we're not okay, you set a priority for 2008. You're not going to start anything. You're not going to do an EA. You're not going to have committee meetings to address the PDT review. We're not going to take action because we have 1 year. If we get bad news, say we got bad news, overfishing was occurring, you have 1 year to fix it. So we'd wait the year. Or the other bad news might be the index has gone down considerably, so you might want to be precautionary, but you wouldn't be able to do it. That's what I'm saying. If it goes below the line, we're not going to take a management action. You get a review out of it, but no management action.
Jim?
This is a spec-setting process. The specs have been set for 3 years. We did that in the last meeting with the idea that we would review that situation. Now, when I dealt with that, my thinking was that we'd do that much like we did this year. You have a committee meeting. The committee says, we think these are the right specs. And then that comes to the council, and the council decides whether that's right or wrong. That is the action. There is nothing. We don't have to have an amendment. We don't have to do anything. We have to, as a council, determine what we think the specs are. I don't see why it couldn't be done. The same action takes place. The staff looks at it, sees what they see as if there's a problem or no problem, or things are different or they're the same. They come to the council and say, "This is what we see. What do you want to do you want to make any changes in those specs?" If we were to do that, we would then make the change in those specs at that time. Is that not what we would do?
That entails an EA, considerable analysis, alternatives, maybe a risk assessment like we had. That's a lot of work. It is, in other words, if we're going to review it with the idea of taking action, there's more work than if we're going to review it, and then we may take action in 2008. And
I guess I just don't – I don't see the difference between the council looking at that spec and saying looking at the situation and saying – We want to change the specs or we don't. This doesn't look any different to me than if we had a committee meeting like we did last year and say, these are the specs. Do you want to change them or you don't? Last year, we did set them for 3 years. So we're already in that situation where to change them, we're going to have to do something. So I don't see why we're any difference whether we have this above the line or below the line. I guess that's...
Well, if there's... Then there's, you know, again, it's not just us. There's proposed rule, final rule, writing. You know, there's a lot of analysis and work associated with changing something. Right, Pat?
Put that one.
Pat, did you want to comment?
Well, I have a suggestion, let me comment first. Moving it below the line means you're not taking action. I mean, that is what moving it below the line is. If you keep it above the line, it implies that you've committed, that you've put aside or allocated resources, staff resources, our resources, the center's resources for doing that action. And so you can't have it both ways, basically. Put it below the line and then say you're still going to do the action, which frankly just doesn't make much sense. My suggestion is to go with this kind of a motion, but if you decide after the review of the information, which is in June, I think, typically, that the council wants to take an action for Herring, then you stop work on the sector amendment and work instead on the Herring. I think it's the only way you're going to be able to try to do the two of them by acknowledging that the resources need to shift from one to the other if you decide to go forward with Herring.
Jim, and then Phil.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out on Herring that we just started a new management scheme. None of it's going to be able to be measured by June. We just lowered the tack by 10,000 tons. We've put in different gear restrictions, and we've limited entry. I think the risk for Herring is pretty nil, for us to have any information that's really going to reflect all of that of the actions we've just taken. So I'd support this amendment.
Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can totally support this, but I understand people's concerns about it. And then back to where I was a little while ago, I kind of wonder now, because I mean, we've got Herring listed as one meeting and Whiting listed for five meetings and the staff work and stuff involved. And as Dave was saying before, Whiting's pretty well, you know, a lot of this... The limited access program and stuff is going down the road. We're using stuff that was pretty much developed. I'm wondering if there's room to move the Herring into the Whiting because it's the same committee anyhow. I mean, that'd be the same committee, so maybe just make the compromise up there, leave them both up in there, have the Herring meeting, and use only four Whiting meetings in the following year. There's staff time and stuff involved in that. I know it's not just the meetings. I mean, it's that, but it's also the issue of whether we're going to do anything with Herring, as Pat said, or not. Which, if you just use, it's really the one meeting and the staff time devoted to developing the review and whatever, which is happening anyhow, if I understood you. So you could put that in there, have lose one Whiting meeting, is what I'm saying. Put the Herring meeting there, see whether that takes us to where we need to be. That's mid-June, and at that point, we just have to readdress the priority or something at that. Won't be the first time we ever did that.
Sally.
I'm a big supporter of harvesting cooperatives or sectors. I think they're a tool that we've lost the opportunity to use for both economic and conservation reasons reverse that, conservation and economic reasons, but I think they're both there and inherent in harvesting cooperatives. That said, I believe that a sector policy developed by the council is going to be more effective in letting the council and the very different fisheries that are interested in this, from groundfish to general category scallop fishery to herring, they're such different fisheries. My concern would be that if we went with a full-blown amendment, we'd end up undoing the benefits that harvesting cooperatives or sectors have, and that is that you need to be able to be flexible with different kinds of fisheries. So I think a broader policy that addresses a lot of the issues that came up during the herring debate earlier this year is going to serve this council and the diversity of fisheries that we have to deal with much better than an amendment that is going to get potentially so down in the weeds that we screw it all up. So I'm going to oppose this motion and support what the executive committee put forward.
Dana, and then I'm going to go to the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief, and everybody knows the concerns I have with herring, and as Phil pointed out, I think a couple of ways have been pointed out that we probably can work the specs for next year. And I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just think it is critically important that if we, before we go forward with sectors, that we do it in the amendment process. Otherwise, I think it's going to have disastrous effects. I think we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to the resource we're trying to manage, and we owe it to the people that harvest that resource to do that. And so having considered a couple of possible alternatives to look at herring specs, I'm going to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone in the audience? Dave Frullo and Mary Beth.
Thank you, David Frullo for the Fisheries Survival Fund. This may be more of a question. If you move the SBRM amendment to the council level review, my question is, would you have a mechanism in place to adjust it? I believe that there's some concerns about the SBRM that haven't really been focused on yet, and the public hearing process is the start of that. So I hope that whatever you do, whether the vehicles, the council, you turn the council into a committee of the whole, I don't know how you do it, but you ought to at least have a game plan articulated so we know how you would handle that. Thank you.
I think the answer to your question, Dave, is yes. The council would behave as the committee would have behaved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also had a question. There's been some discussion about how you'd move sectors forward in the herring FMP under frameworkable items. Sectors are listed. However, it seems to me that in the past when this has come up, we've been advised that to have sector allocations in the herring fishery would require an amendment and an EIS. And so the question would be, if it's a frameworkable item under the herring plan, can you move a sector allocation through a framework with an EA instead of a full EIS?
The point of putting it in Amendment 1 was to make sure that the mechanism was included. I don't think we can implement the mechanism for adopting sectors through a framework. And that's, I think, part of the confusion here. This amendment would actually put the mechanism in, not just develop the policy for them, but also put the mechanism in that will allow them to be implemented.
So just to follow up, if the council moves forward and develops a policy for sector allocations, then it would require an amendment to each individual FMP for those different fisheries to have sectors. And I would just point out that this is not all about herring. There are other FMPs and species, limited access scallops, that would also be impacted on their ability to have sectors, that this council under Herring has recommended a limited access program that allows for a 30% increase in effort in the inshore Gulf of Maine, new effort controls under the commission plan for 2007, as well as a significant reduction in the tax. So, you know, while Herring is very important to me, I think that the implications of the new plan, and I'm torn between, you know, trying to recommend that we not do specs or a full review in 2006, but I think the omnibus does address a multitude of fisheries that are important in the region.
Anyone else in the audience? Okay, back to the council. I just have a question, an open-ended question. If the intent of the sector omnibus amendment is to simply to standardize sector policies across FMPs and put the mechanism in those FMPs such that you could accept in a future action a sector application versus what the executive committee has put forward, which is development of a policy, and then you could, in each FMP as they come down the road, put in the ability to form a sector and at the same time accept a sector application. What's the difference? Unless people at the table are considering in this omnibus process accepting actual applications to go through along with the policy. So I don't know if people are in the back of their minds thinking we're going to develop a policy that applies across all FMPs and at the same time we're going to accept sector applications that conform to that policy outside of the specific management plan amendment or framework. go ahead, Jim.
Well, as the maker of the motion, it wasn't my intention that this would be an opportunity to review sectors applications, that it would be basically a chance for the council to consider all of the issues that are involved in sectors and make some considered choices of how they will deal with that and provide the opportunities so that every plan doesn't have to be amended, that then all the plans become amended by the amendment, thereby individual sector applications could be dealt with in the appropriate way as they come along through committees or through the, let's say it's groundfish, they can be dealt with that way. So it gives a vehicle for people to be able to apply because it's amended all of the plans. But it wasn't to review actual applications for sectors. I'll leave it at that.
And I guess I would just one other thought. Certainly there may be certain standards by which we'd want to apply to every sector that we review or that we authorize, but at the same time, certainly from fishery to fishery, there are separate considerations in terms of scale of operation or quota caps and so on and so forth. So is it people's understanding that this amendment would deal specifically with those issues that apply across all fisheries and stop when you get to the specifics? Or is this amendment process going to do that and then go fishery by fishery to address the specific needs of each fishery?
I can go around for quite a while, but I agree. My reading of this is that this, you would come up with some criteria. For instance, you just pick one out of the air that if you form a sector, you have to fish under a hard TAC in every fishery. Then there may be some other criteria similar to that that will allow red crab, scallops, and every other fisheries to now start moving forward with some sector applications through their process, just as Jim has described it, that this is, to me, this looks like it would save a couple of years off from doing it by each individual plan. You know, we'll never get it in this scallop one if we wanted to allow sectors in this particular scallop plan. We don't have herring coming up for, it would have taken another herring amendment.
it would take a, let's see, what other fisheries are we talking about? Red crab amendment, and we can do it all in one and get it done in a year and pass it back to those particular fisheries and move forward. And I agree with that, with Sally when she said that, you know, this helps conservation because when you have a mechanism in a fisheries that you can keep the people profitable, it's much easier to manage that particular fisheries when you have to make the hard choices. So I think this is crucial to our mission to move it forward. Thank you.
A couple more, and then I'm going to call a question. Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know of one group right now that's going to be very soon coming up with a sector proposal, but there are just enormous pitfalls involved in it if we don't have a standardized mechanism in place. It can become a fiasco. I've seen that happen already on the state level. If you don't have some mechanism in place, you run into all kinds of legal pitfalls and problems with contract law that I think we can anticipate by having an omnibus amendment. I think that's the way to go.
Sally?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. The general category scallop fishery, the amendment already has a section on sectors for general category. If we develop, if the council develops an omnibus sector amendment, is that going to be out the window and we're going to have to wait until we finish the sector amendment to allow sectors in general category scallop fishery? I don't know who I'm asking this question, but that's an important, I think it's a really important question.
For the council to decide, but Dana?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't answer that question, but that is one of the exact reasons that I think we need to do a sector amendment, because I'm uncomfortable with just going forward with all of these things that are in place. I would hope that it would just hold it back. But that's a great question and one of my real funny feelings about going forward.
Paul.
I wouldn't hold back anything with general category scallops. We want that to go forward. And if, in fact, we develop a policy that says we're going to cap at 12% and they capped at 15%, then we'll change theirs down the line. But for now, they go full speed ahead, get it in place, and if it's changed by our amendment, we'll change it.
I'm sorry, I had one more question. The time frame for an amendment, I know that's the $64,000 question, but you know, my thought is that the general council policy can be developed relatively quickly. My thought is that an amendment is going to take years. So that's one of the big reasons why I'm a supporter of developing the policy so that we can allow the fisheries that want to pursue this to do that and not leave them hanging for years and years and years. So I guess I'd look to the maker of the motion to also answer this question. If there's a commitment to develop broad policies in a sector amendment so that we don't end up having an amendment process that lasts years and years and years, or if it's the intent that this sector amendment is going to be something that addresses each fishery that the council manages.
It seems to me that if you develop an amendment that is an omnibus amendment, much like Habitat omnibus amendment, it applies across what it deals with applies to all fisheries. So it would establish, you would hopefully, this effort would be to establish principles or policies that we determine are important to uphold within sectors. And I don't envision that as, this is my envision, I don't envision that as we're going to determine for herring you can do these things, and for this you can do those things, and for that you can do other things. I think it's we're going to look at all the issues that sectors bring up and then give guidance as to how we expect sectors
in those fisheries to deal with those issues. The thing that I think is important about it is that if we just leave it open that, well, you know, if you're interested in a sector, apply. You get every idea known to man comes out, and we have to deal with them one by one and issue by issue, and it necessarily is focused on a particular fishery, so we think it only applies to that. But many of these things apply across the board. I mean, there are issues we've talked about in the past about whether if you have hard tacks, whether they apply to all the species you're fishing on, or whether the mixture between days at sea and hard tacks and ground fish, that is a big issue. So we need to deal with those issues, determine the policies. I don't envision it much different than what the executive committee thought of as developing policies. But the value of it is when you're done, you have an amendment that then applies across the board, and people now have the ability to take action. And they have the ability to apply, and if herring isn't on the schedule for 3 years, you're not held up for 3 years to just get the ability to ask for a sector. You now have the ability to go forward. It seems to me that in several of the fisheries that we have on the agenda, and this goes back to how we're going to get the time. I mean, you got multi-species, you got sea scallops, and you got whiting, which are all dealing with, have the potential to deal with sectors. So in some ways, I think the idea of putting some of the days that are involved in those, and because it is, you know, whiting is the same as herring, for example, now that with the new committee structure. So taking some of those days and dealing with the issue that's common to all of them, I think, makes sense. So I don't envision it as that drastic a change in terms of the allocation of days. So I hope that answered your question, Sal.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but the only other part of the question that wasn't answered was the how long this might take. I know that requires a crystal ball, but if we can get some kind of ballpark answer to that.
Go ahead, Paul.
Again, I think with some broad guidelines and some specific guidelines, I think we can get it done in a year and 7 months to review. 12 months to submit a plan. And then it's reviewed.
Dave.
I guess it's a matter of degree here or something. To me, this screams policy, not amendment. I guess you either trust your staff or you don't. I mean, in fisheries management plans, there's tons of different things to consider. That's why you need an amendment. That's why you need lots of public comment. That's why you need to go to the various regions and gather information. Here, you're essentially trying to standardize something. In a way, it's very similar to the standardized bycatch reporting mechanism. You need to have your staff prepare a document that says, this is how much of a percent a sector can control. This is an operations plan for a six, this is what you'll have to submit for paperwork. All the guidelines, whatever they are, you come back to the council, and then the council says, no, I don't think it should be 15%. I think it should be 12, or no, I don't think you should need that particular part of the paperwork or whatever. But I can't see how, I mean, we could spend, Paul says a year. I think we could spend 3 years easily drawing one of these up. When we could have the staff probably draw it up in 3 months, present it as a finished document, and then we go through it and either yay it or nay it. And perhaps have to send them back one more time for some refinements. So I guess it's a matter of degree here as to how much you want to get into this. And to me, I don't want to get into it that much. I mean, we already have, sectors laid out. You know, there are functioning sectors already. The idea of those was that they were a pilot project, that we were going to study them and figure out what worked and what didn't so we could develop a policy. That's what we've got staff for. Now they can study what worked and what didn't, and they come back to us with a policy. So I just, again, to me this screams policy, not amendment.
Okay. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of substituting the Herring Amendment with the Sector Omnibus Amendment, and that the SBRM priority would become a council discussion item only, raise your hand. Can you change the word amendment after Herring to specs or specifications, please? Thank you.
Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Rip Cunningham.
No.
David Gaethel.
No.
Tom Hill.
Yes.
Mike Leary.
No.
Sally McGee.
Yes.
Pat Kirkle.
Yes.
Terry Stockwell.
Yes.
John Nelson.
No.
Jimmy Odlin.
Yes.
Dave Preble.
Yes.
Dana Rice.
Yes.
Phil Rule.
Yes.
Jim Salisbury.
Yes.
David Simpson. And Mark Gibson?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 6. Motion carries.
Motion carries 9-6. We're on to the main motion as amended. Mike?
Just a brief question. Who's going to do this sector amendment? Is it going to be the multi-species committee, or is it going to be a separate committee selected?
It's going to be a separate committee.
Okay.
Any additional issues before I call the main amended motion? Okay. All those in favor of the main amended motion as posted on the board, raise your hand. Four opposed. Two opposed. Motion carries. Anything else on the priorities, Paul? Okay. That wraps up today. Just a reminder, we have the SBRM public hearing at 5:30 here in this room. For anyone that is interested. And we meet tomorrow at 8:30. We'll start out with Monkfish. We're in recess. Happy birthday to Dave Gaethel.